You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and you are listening to the American Hour. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening live, you can always call in to chat with us here. The number is 310-982-4145. And if you've downloaded this, well, thank you for downloading it and listening to it after the fact. That's one of my favorite things to do these days is download radio shows that I didn't get a chance to listen to, and then I do have a chance whenever I choose, which a lot of times is when I'm in the car driving to the airport to go fly somewhere. Now, if you are on Facebook and you haven't found our Facebook page or been there, you really ought to check it out. We'll put some good stuff there about upcoming shows, other informational things, usually political and constitutional in nature. And it's located on Facebook at the American Hour radio show page, the American Hour radio show page. I think that's what you, so you'd search, do a search and you'll find it there. And on Twitter, we were getting close to 8,000 followers on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, it's a great source for instantaneous news. And what I mean by that is if you pick the right people to follow, and you can follow lots and lots of people, but put the ones you really like into a list, you can quickly see what they're putting out on any given day with links, and most people do this, have direct links to articles and stories and other information. It's a great way to get caught up on what's happening today quickly, because you can go to numerous news sites and scour through all the different stories, but the hottest topics you're going to find from a collection of a handful of people that really stay on top of that stuff on Twitter. And how do you find them? Well, follow us on Twitter, The American Hour, and go take a look at who we follow. And I think I've got one master list of the people that I think are most important. I think Twitter will allow you to see my list and follow those people and get some good information. So The American Hour on Twitter, and the American Hour Radio Show on Facebook. Of course, our website is at usaradionetwork.com, and if you can't remember that, you can just type in tomgarcia.com, and it will take you to our website. Well, we got a great show for you tonight, and let me plug a couple other things. So tomorrow night, we're going to be joined by Nick Taxia at the top of the hour, right at the beginning of the show. He'll be sort of co-hosting with me as well as doing his segment. And I think he just put out a new article about, remember when Obama said that he, as president, you know, there are a lot of things you should do, but one of the things that's really important as president is tell a story to the American people. To tell a story, that's really important. I didn't see that anywhere in the Constitution that it's the president's job to tell a story. And, you know, my grandmother used to use the term telling a story as fibbing. You know, oh, are you telling me a story? So I guess what he's trying to say is that it's really important for the president of the United States to fib to the American people. Well, the thing is, he's making it sound like he didn't do that. He's already fibbed plenty to us. He's told us plenty of stories that we don't want to hear and we don't care about. And of note along that line, his jobs council. Oh, boy, he's going to focus like a laser beam on jobs and help get that unemployment down. They haven't met for 6 months. 6 months. They probably never will meet again, because Obama is focused heavily on outsourcing, and he uses the term inappropriately. Anybody that has any business overseas, let's take a very perfect example, Coca-Cola. Should Coca-Cola only sell Coke in the U.S.? So only sell their drinking products in the U.S.? Oh, there's a lot of money to be made selling it all around the world. So they go around the world and sell it, and they have to employ people around the world to manufacture, ship, dispense, disperse, et cetera, sell their product. Obama thinks that's outsourcing. So we should have closed borders and all U.S. corporations only operate within the U.S. But at the same time, we're a global community. We're global citizens, and we've got to participate in helping everybody around the world. see, this is the hypocrisy of the liberal left. Hate corporations, embrace failing societies around the world because we're a global nation, a global world, and on, but when it comes to corporations, oh, no. You step one foot off of our country here, and you're a traitor. You're evil. Wow. That's just great. That's wonderful. So, anyway, Nick will be talking about, I don't know, I haven't read his article on that, but I'm sure it's going to be funny as usual, so don't miss that tomorrow night. And a few other things that are in the news. $500,000 in Energy Department equipment bought with stimulus money is missing. Wow, $500,000 worth of Department of Energy equipment. You know, the Department of Energy is so inefficient and such a waste. The president, in his so-called budget proposal that got not one single vote in the House or Senate, actually, it got no votes in the House, and the Senate won't even vote on it because they know it won't get any single vote there. So Harry Reid's trying to protect the president, but not do his job. No, we just won't even, you know, address it like it doesn't exist. So I don't know how we're going to get anything done. You know, the House has been passing bill after bill after bill. It gets to the Senate, and they won't touch it. So the president keeps talking about the do-nothing Congress. It's the do-nothing Senate led by his own party. That's the real problem. In any case, Department of Energy, he wanted a 12% plus up while he continues to slash NASA's budget. The Department of Energy, what do they do for us? Go look at their website. They don't do jack for us. What does NASA do for us? Oh, NASA's done a tremendous amount of stuff for us. And from a military aspect, the battlefield of the future is lower Earth orbit. And we're just not doing anything with that anymore. We're going to get screwed here one day. I'm telling you. It's the battlefield of the future, just like air. Sea power is the current, and at one time was the battlefield of the future, and we embraced that, jumped on it, and did it better than anybody else, and that's why we basically control the skies and wherever we want to take our naval battle groups. But pretty soon it's going to be space, and space is going to dwarf naval sea power and air power. But we're going to scale back on NASA and add more money, pump more money into the Department of Energy. And I know you libtards out there are like, wow, NASA squandered money too. You're right. But just tell me, what is the Department of Energy actually doing for us? $26 billion budget. And what are they doing for us? Well, they're investing money in failed solar and wind companies, failed green energy technologies. We're not getting anything back from that investment. All right, rumor of the day, Chris Christie to deliver the keynote speech at the Republican convention, nomination convention. And I already mentioned it, Obama's job council hasn't met in 6 months. Gee, what a surprise there. What a surprise. Anyway, let's get on to the topic of the day, and that is your success is not your success. Because you've had to rely on other people to get where you are. That's the president's philosophy. It's a collectivist philosophy. Our nation was founded on individualism. Individual liberty, not collective liberty. Now, the Soviet communist Russia was founded on collectivism. Communism is founded on collectivism. And he made it very clear. Collectively, we do better. No, not true. Not true. You know, nobody went to Bill Gates' house and said, hey, I understand you're working on a software program in your garage. We got about 20 people up and down the street that want to join in because you'll do a better job if collectively we all work together. He didn't need their help. He had a couple friends, and that was it. Didn't need any government help. Didn't need any government grants. And we're going to get to all this. We're going to get to all this because, yes, there are things that government has done that has paved the way. Infrastructure, which is a favorite term of the president, infrastructure. But we'll point out which came first, the chicken or the egg. Okay, but I want to take an article from American Thinker, great magazine. You should check it out every day. There's always some great articles, and they're really well worth reading. But I want to take a look at an article, and I apologize. You'll see if you go look at it today. I didn't write down who the author of this was, but this is public domain stuff, and I talk about this all the time. A president who's always talking about himself. And then we'll see how he talks about you when he finally gets around to talking about you. But here's some of the things that he says in some of his speeches. I still remember when I was first running for the state senate in Illinois. That's the essential project that got me into politics. That's why I ran for president. I don't mind cleaning up the mess some other folks made. That's what I signed up to do. My plan to encourage innovation, My plan sets up an independent fund to attract private dollars and issue loans. My plan for education doesn't rely on more money. I want to give schools more flexibility. Now, what does he say when he talks about you? And he was laughing. I'm going to play the audio because you're, if you haven't heard it, if you've been, you know, if you've been insulated, whether it's job, family, stuff around the house, and you just haven't heard it, it's going to blow your mind. You probably have heard it, but we're going to delve into it. And that's the point, is it's been big news, but we're going to delve into it in some ways that the media has not delved into it. And here's what he said. Now, I did all the emphasis on those previous things where he said, I. I'm now going to emphasize you. Look, if you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Someone else made that happen. See how he talks about himself? And he loves talking about himself more than any politician. Any politician. In my lifetime, I've never heard a politician say the word I and me so much. Usually they say we, us, because they don't want to sound this way. But he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind sounding like a one way. And he enjoys it. But look how he looks down on you. If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Someone else made that happen. Wow. Well, don't plan on taking any credit for any of the good stuff that you've done, because the president's going to steal all that credit for himself. And, of course, he had nothing to do with it. But let's hear in his own words what he just said just the past weekend. I think it was on Friday or Saturday.
You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I'm sorry to have to make you listen to that three times, but I want to emphasize what he said. His water carriers in the media, the apologists, are trying to say, oh, well, you're taking that out of context. There's no context to take that out of. It is what it is. He said precisely what he means. Precisely what he means. Now, he did attempt to explain a little bit by saying that, you know, the government authorized highway bills and things that allow trucking to, you know, disperse and send out and ship out equipment and things that you may need to run your business. And the big one is the internet. They keep using these things. Well, let me ask you about this. So here's what some of the things that they talked about, or he talked about, some of his apologists are talking about. That without roads, you know, we couldn't drive places, we couldn't transport stuff. Without the internet, we couldn't engage in internet business, which is a big deal now. Without the FAA and allowing and granting air, you know, flying rights to air carriers, you know, people couldn't get transported, and then you still, you know, and all the cargo and everything is transported. Well, let me ask this question: which came first, the chicken or the egg? If there were no cars, would we need a highway system? The government didn't invent the car. The government didn't mass produce the car, didn't grant a license to mass produce the car. Henry Ford did it all on his own, and it was very successful. In fact, turned the assembly line into, you know, the manufacturing model of the future. The internet. Yeah, it was the Defense Department that developed the internet because it needed a way of communicating via computers. But if nobody had computers, especially personal home computing, then the internet wouldn't be used in the way it is today. Who invented computers? Well, you can go back to who did, but, I mean, really, that got them to the point where they could be mass marketed to the public, IBM, and then some of the follow-on companies that then jumped on that. You've got Bill Gates, and, of course, you've got Steve Jobs and the other folks at Apple that really took personal home computing and business computing and brought it into the realm of reality. Without that, if that had never happened, I mean, let's go back to 1950. There's no internet back then because there's no need for an internet. There might have been one day a need for the Defense Department to communicate in a secure manner via computer. But if nobody had computers at home, there'd be no no need for the commercial internet. And in fact, the commercial internet was expanded and grown by cable and phone carriers that got licenses from the government, but they spent the money and investment in it and took the risk in the beginning, not the government. Just because the government came up with something doesn't mean that it would never have happened. And I'll give you a couple examples here. But also, would there be a need for the FAA and licenses to fly aircraft all over the country if there were no airplanes? Nobody had invented an airplane. See, it was an entrepreneur that opened the door. And yes, the government stepped in at some point and said, look, the states, you know, an early airline could say, hey, listen, let's see if we can coordinate with this state and that state and this state. And they could have done it, and that has been done in the past at the state level. Like MCI, remember that telephone carrier? It started all at the state level and got licenses from state to state to state. No federal government involvement. They initiated that on their own initially when they established their radio transmitting system for the truckers. Okay. So I'll tell you what came first, the chicken or the egg. Not the government, but the people. The people. And if you go back to the founding of our country, intercoastal waterways, rivers, harbors, et cetera, were used for transporting. Nobody built those. They were there already. And people were highly engaged in commerce and trade long before the government ever got involved in interstate highways. Long before they ever got involved. And it was the states that were involved in the licensing of boat activities, transportation activities. The government didn't build any of that. But let's take it a step further. What does the government do for us along the lines of services that maybe were initiated by the government? Absolutely initiated. How about parks and recreation at the state level, at the federal level? Yeah, parks that people like to go camp in and participate in, but did the government have anything to do with Disney World and Disneyland and other theme parks like that? No, they're completely commercial ventures. And how much money does Disney rake in at one of its theme parks compared to any government entity at a local, state, or national park? Well, billions and billions of dollars. So the private sector does a much better job at providing parks and recreation than the federal government does. How about the post office? Well, the post office was an important move, and it was a good move by the government. But what about UPS and FedEx? Are they underwater? Are they losing money? Do they need subsidization? Are they scaling back the days that they're going to deliver and on and on? Oh, they're making money, making money, making money, because they're a private enterprise that is highly reliable and highly effective, whereas the post office is not. So somehow your success is based on the government providing things for you. Well, the other aspect of this is, where did the money come from to build roads and develop the internet and, pay for the FAA to monitor the whole airline system? Your tax dollars, you paid for it. And in reality, if we really didn't want these things, we could have. We could have, if we had, you know, rallied our representatives, et cetera, and said, we don't want that. Disband the FAA. We don't want the internet. Disband it. Let somebody develop that privately. We could have pushed for that. And if you speak out loud enough and enough people jump on to that sort of sentiment, then your representatives respond to you, and that stuff gets struck down. So we're really in control, although it doesn't seem like it sometimes, and it's hard to get us all riled up and gathered together on an issue like that. But the president's trying to put the cart before the horse, and it doesn't work that way. So let's take a look at, just what capitalism really is. What is capitalism? By its nature, capitalism does celebrate the success of the individual, not the collective. Individuals separately or together, driven by the motive of self-enrichment. Oh, but that's so evil. Produce goods and services desired by others. In the process, jobs and wealth are created, thus benefiting society as a whole. Corporations are a mere legal creation made up of people who are stockholders, officers, and employees, all of whom pay taxes to maintain a government that cannot create wealth. What, then, of these avid proponents of Marxism socialism is the solution for these sins of America's past and the path to creation of a more just and stable society? The answer inevitably was ever larger and more intrusive government as the savior that would guarantee fairness. But every country that's ever attempted that form of socialism has gone down in flames. And the only way that communist China has survived is because they've embraced a form of capitalism. Yes, it's a dictatorial society, not so much a collective anymore, but rather a capitalist society with a statist government now. But the other thing that the president likes to focus on is the big evil corporations that just make so much money. It's just not fair. Well, first of all, these are companies that provide things we want. Look at Apple Computer. They make money hand over fist. How about Google? Hand over fist. I think Google's net profit is somewhere in the 25% range. Apple's is in the 30% range. Now, if we were to raise taxes on these companies, like the president wants to raise it on big, bad, evil oil, well, without oil, we are screwed because we are a transportation society. But just for the argument's sake, let's do that. Let's raise the taxes on all these big, bad, evil companies because they're just not paying their fair share. Do they end up paying those taxes out of their profits? Absolutely not. You can raise taxes all you want on corporations, and they will not dip into their profit margin. They will just raise the price of their product. So who ultimately pays those corporate taxes? The middle class of America, you and I. We pay those taxes. Corporations never pay taxes. I mean, think about it. Let's take a look at a grocery store and even a grocery chain. Their profit margin on food is only like 1% or 2%. They don't have much of a profit margin. But the fact is, we need food to live and survive. So we go and buy food all the time. There are always people shopping in grocery stores. So they have a guaranteed customer, stream of customers. No matter how bad things get economically, there will always be people at the grocery store buying food. So they have a guaranteed revenue, but their profit margin is very low. If you were to raise the corporate taxes on a grocery chain 10%, well, they don't have the profit to pay that. What, are they just going to go out of business? No, they raise all their food 10%. Their food prices 10%. That's how they do it. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous to think the corporations aren't paying their fair share, and we're going to make them pay their fair share by raising taxes. This is the secret hidden way to get into your pocketbook. This is how statist elites like President Obama get to middle-class money without raising your taxes. Raise corporate taxes. That'll hit you. Raise it on every corporation across the country, and you will pay higher taxes because you're paying their taxes for them. So it's a fallacy that they're not paying their fair share. You're paying their fair share and more. So I'm going to take just a little break from this discussion here about you not being successful and it's somebody else's successes, somebody else doing the work for you. And we're going to listen to the latest Mitt Romney ad about where did the stimulus money go? Good question. Where did the stimulus money go?
Where did all the Obama stimulus money go? Friends, donors, campaign supporters, special interest groups. Where did the Obama stimulus money go? Solyndra, $500 million taxpayer dollars, bankrupt. So where did the Obama stimulus money go? Windmills from China, electric cars from Finland.
79% of the $2.1 billion in stimulus grants awarded through it went to overseas companies.
Okay, that finishing up was Senator Chuckie Schmucky Schumer, Democrat senator, and saying right there that of stimulus grants, a certain type of stimulus grant was given out, over $2 billion, 79%, so virtually 80% of that went to corporations overseas. Corporations that many of which had no ties to the U.S., no structure within the U.S. Wow. So we were stimulating other economies when our own economy was faltering and going deeper into debt and higher unemployment, but we were out stimulating other countries. So when you hear the president talk about outsourcing of jobs, he's the greatest outsourcer we've ever had, ever, in any corporation, in any government in our nation's history. He has outsourced more jobs, more money via stimulus money going overseas. If you go to the RNC website, you can see a chart of all the countries and just how much money and what went where. He is the outsourcer and king. I mean, nobody has ever outdone him. So back to you not being successful. It's all somebody else that did it. Now, this is a story from Dove Fisher in the American Thinker. It came out today. It's called Obama, the Bane of Capital. With all the talk of Bain Capital, let us let me jump a little further ahead. We've already kind of covered that. This is from a person, he's talking about the president, who told his supporters that his nomination marked the moment when the waters of the great oceans would recede and when the Earth's temperature would cool. Talk about deluded and megalomaniac. So now one wonders whether Obama really did win that election. Now, he didn't build the voting machines, and he didn't create the cars that brought voters to polling places. He didn't create the pens that wrote the checks for his campaign. Someone else did that. So he didn't win that election. Someone else did. We should find the person who really won the election for him, because he doesn't really deserve it. Remember, all that hard work that he put into it, not really his work, somebody else's. Okay, the thing is, he does not know how to create a productive job that adds value, because he never built a business. He never filed the corporate compliance documents, was never posed with obligations to leap through endless hoops of government red tape to sell a product. He does not know. He never built a factory, never went to a fabricator to have the manufacturing machines built to specifications. The only fabrication he knows, and I like this part, the only fabrication he knows is falsifying his life story, fabricating his life story. One cannot call such novels a biography or autobiography, but only a life story. So he can fabricate facts in his life story. He can fabricate claims against Romney that fly against the truth, but he does not know how to fabricate a machine. Someone else made that happen. He does not understand what it means to research a product for years, risking all of one's life savings and borrowing and seeking investment capital, hoping for that breakthrough that might fill a need. He does not know what it is to sell a consumer product and one day have an extraordinary insight that, by tweaking the product just a bit, can open doors to satisfy millions of needs. He does not understand that because he did not build that. Someone else made that happen. For decades, people sat in coffee shops and ordered coffee from a waitress who served it 15 minutes later in a porcelain cup, refilling it endlessly at no extra charge. It cost peanuts. A guy in Seattle became convinced that he could serve an untapped societal desire for more glitzy coffee, what he called affordable luxury. He risked his shirt, and he was right. People were ready to stand in line for 10 minutes, pay $5 a cup, pay for refills, and drink it out of cardboard for the affordable luxury that a Starbucks offered. Other people before him had picked the coffee beans, conceived of brewing them for a drink, but a guy turned an idea into something that has touched millions of lives. And I can tell you this right now. I travel all over the world as an international airline pilot, and there's Starbucks everywhere. All kinds of foreign countries have Starbucks right there in the airport terminal. Great idea, and a lot of people rely on that, really, to some degree. Another guy experienced an accidental mess-up at work with some glue. When some glue was not made properly and barely held its stick, he noticed that an adhered item could be separated from the item to which it had been glued and then could re-stick again. Most everyone else would have shrugged and grumbled about the day's mistake at the glue factory, but this guy figured out that people could really do something with little paper notes that could be used as post-its. It took a small form of crazy, wonderful crazy, that could think outside the box to see a vision of millions of insane people like me who survive on post-its. Now, what did Obama create? Oh, yeah, a biography. A story about being a constitutional scholar. My uncle had to fight with John Lindsay's municipal overregulation in New York City in the days before Office Depot and Toys R Us to keep his small business afloat. A business that employed him, my dad, a guy nicknamed Philly, and another named Candy, and support four distinctly different families by being the wholesaler selling stationery supplies and board games to stationery stores and toy stores in New York's five boroughs. Yes, others made the paper, and Parker Brothers and Milton Bradley made the games, but Uncle Iz had to risk his capital, gamble on the need for such an operation, market and build his business, and attract customers. And he regularly had to lose sleep over the possibility that the city would take it all away from him one day. And he did not worry in vain. One day, John Lindsay took away an entire street block of such small businesses to build a municipal parking lot. Obama is the bane of capital, a political streetcar who survived by relying on the kindness of strangers. While he wants to see Romney's taxes, I want to see how he got into Occidental College. I know how I got into Columbia University. I scored a 1450 out of 1600 on my SATs and was a straight-A student through high school, where I also was student body president. It would be fun to know how Obama got into Columbia. I'd be willing to show my grades and SATs if he would. Think about it. He was a druggie in high school and at Occidental before he got to Columbia. How could his grades have been anything less than spectacular? I mean, anything but spectacular. Anything less than average. It would be fun to know how he paid his way through Columbia. I would be willing to publish the loans I took and the scholarships I was awarded if he would. And then law school. He goes on and talks about this, and he was the only president of Harvard Law Review to actually never write a paper. But he's a great writer, great autobiographer, right? Doesn't add up. Anyways, a person who fabricates not machines but life stories cannot understand how much one risks when he creates a company, builds a small business, and hires workers. Obama is the bane of capital. He does not understand it. He does not understand the risk of capital, the possibility of capital, the magic of how America opened possibilities never before imaginable because it liberated capital for private enterprise. And it would be a delight to see how he got into those schools. Yes, it would. So there you have it. Great article by Doug Fisher, the bane of Obama, the bane of capital. And it's true. This guy doesn't understand anything about capitalism, but he knows he hates it. But he's never been a part of it. And now he's the president of the United States, writing executive orders that are unconstitutional and taking moves within his administration that are unconstitutional, taking our military into arenas that are unconstitutional. And we're going to talk about all of that tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're going to cover pretty much every unconstitutional move of this administration. And for the libtards out there, you can say that I know. Oh, what about Nixon? Oh, what about Reagan? Whoa, what about – they're not president now. And I was just as vocal. I didn't have a radio show back then when I was in high school and college, or I would have called out Reagan on some of the things that he did with executive orders, and I certainly have about the Bush era. So don't try and portray conservatives as hypocrites. We don't like anything unconstitutional ever, period. But this president has taken unconstitutional moves to a whole new level. He's really becoming has become an imperial president and will do whatever he feels he can, would like to do, with impunity, because we don't have a Congress that has the stomach to stop him on these unconstitutional moves. They're afraid it will make them look bad. So he's been emboldened, and he continues to move forward by violating our Constitution on a weekly basis. And we'll talk all about that tomorrow night. All right. So one last time. We just got to hear. This has got to be repeated over and over and over. Remember when the president said that let's see if I have that the soundbite of that. I don't think I have it. No, I don't have it. But remember when the president said that the private sector is doing just fine? This guy is so out of touch, but it's government. Government's where the money needs to be. So we need more of your tax money, and we need to raise your taxes and charge you more money for this, that, and everything else. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if the Internet was really technically invented by the military, by the Pentagon, why are we cutting back its budget so far? Because they're so good at inventing stuff that we need. But libtards just hate the military and like to see it scaled way back, even though it protects them, you know, and their freedom of expression, which typically are just lies, but it protects their lies. So tomorrow, the unconstitutional moves of this presidency, and we'll be joined by Nick Taxia and his commentary. Thanks for joining us tonight. Oh, let me play. I got to just do this one more time. We won't play the whole thing.
You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. You got a business.
Somebody else made that happen. You know what? Maybe I should just sit home and let somebody else make that happen and not put any effort into anything because I didn't do it. I'm wondering when somebody's going to come set me up in a really lucrative business because apparently that's how it works according to the president. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're back tomorrow. Nick Taxia joins us.
You're listening to The American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.